Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Baba Metzia Ayin Hey, Baba Metzia 75A, pagination is 149. We're starting from three lines up from the Bada Masnisin, a Mishnah dealing with some intricate considerations in the laws of ribis, interest of a loan tendered between Jews. So we have a concept that one Jew is not allowed to charge interest of another Jew. We also described that sometimes during commerce, an item is exchanged with certain terms that in essence is the equivalent of a loan. Somehow, the money or the value is being advanced, and that person is then paying back more at a later date. You have, for example, if a neighbor would borrow a cup of sugar and then pay back a cup of sugar at a later date, be it a day, a week, a month, a year later, whenever they finally get to it, what would happen if the price of sugar changed in the interim? Let's say, for example, the price of sugar was low when it was lent and is high when it's being returned. If we were to transfer the value of sugar into dollars and cents, you would see that it looks like you are giving ribis in return. You received a certain value and you're giving more value in return at a later date. The fact that you had the item in the interim seems to be causing you to pay back a greater value. Now, in general, we're not worried about this. We have a concept that if they're very neighborly and they're not makbid, they don't care, they're not watching these nuances, they probably don't even check if it's exactly a cup that's being returned. They just don't want to feel taken advantage of. Then these kinds of swaps are generally not a ribis concern. However, if it is something that people are makpid on, they do stand on ceremony, it's significant to them, then there will be a ribis consideration. Just for illustration's sake, consider a carpool. One could argue that every ride is equal to every other ride, and that's fine. But you could have a situation where a person argues that a Sunday carpool is less inconvenience because they don't have to take time off of work. And whoever gets Sunday is getting a great deal. And the weekday is worth more because they have to take time off from work in order to do that carpool. And they could start calculating who gave the more valuable day as opposed to the other person who's giving less. And if a person gives less earlier in the year, and it's returned with greater value later in the year, one could start wondering if there's a ribis consideration. Again, in general, it could very well be that people are not makbid and they swap interchangeably one ride for another, and they're considered, for all intents and purposes, equal in value. But we need to know how to calculate such a thing. The Mishnah says, Omer Adam Lachavero, a person is allowed to tell his neighbor, Nacheshi mi, weed with me. Everybody's got their plantation, and they invite their neighbor over. Va'anacheshi moch, and when it's your time to weed, I'll weed with you. Edor imi, plow with me, ve'edor imach, and I'll plow with you. And that's fine, because they're considered equitable back and forth. V'lo yomalo, but you should not say, nachesh imi, weed with me, ve'edar imach, and I'll plow with you, edar imi, plow with me, ve'anachesh imach, and I'll weed with you. Because these are two different activities, and we're concerned that the second person is going to be doing a harder labor, and it's the equivalent of paying back more because he's repaying a service that was done for him free of charge. It saved him money. It was a service done for him way back, and now when he's paying it up, he's paying it back in greater value. On Amud Beis, Kol Yemei Gerid Echad. If you are doing the same type of labor, so the entire dry season is one unit, even though one day may be slightly longer than the next, they worked until sunset, but it's all the dry season, it's considered one product, and it's equitable. Kol Yemei Revi'a Achas. All the days of the wet season are considered one unit, and they're considered equitable, even though, again, one day may technically be longer than the other. We're not worried that that's considered ribis. It's considered commodities that are interchangeable. But, lo yoma lo charoshimi begrid, you're not allowed to say, plow with me in the dry season, vani echroshimcha berivia, and I will plow for you, with you, in the wet season. We're worried that the land is tougher, etc. Any variation, any variable, would cause us concern regarding ribis. Rabbi Gamliel Lomer, Rabbi Gamliel says, Yesh ribis mukdemes v'yesh ribis meucheres. Another thing to consider is that sometimes you could have ribis that comes before the loan or ribis that comes after the loan. These are examples that differ from the classic ribis. The classic ribis is kitsutsa. It's established. I give you $1,000, I get back $1,100. This is something's happening before or after. Ketzad, I'll give you an example. Nosan Einav Lilvos Heimenu. The person is eyeing somebody that he wants to borrow from. Fuhu Meshaleach Lo Ve'omer. He sends him a gift, sends him Shlachmanas, and he says, Bishvil Shetalveini. I'm hoping that you will lend me money. Zu Ribis Mukdemes. This is an example of Ribis before the fact. Lo Ve'omer. If after he borrowed, Ve'chzir Lo Es Ma'osav, and he already paid up. He sends him a gift. Ve'omer, and he says, "Bishvil ma'osecha, shahayu betelus etzli." I'm giving you this because of the money that was stuck with me. You weren't able to use it. Agar nater, the wage of the money sitting idle. Zuim ribis mocheres, that's ribis after the fact, and likewise, it is prohibited. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Yesh ribis devarim, there's such a thing as ribis of words. You didn't even give him tangible value, but lo yoma lo da ki bo ish ploni mimakam ploni, even to go out of your way and tell somebody that a certain person that he would like to see, either because he's fond of them or because it's a business contact, you're not allowed to go out of your way and tell the person your friend is in town as a result of a loan that he gave to you, because that too would be considered ribis. There are those who maintain that saying thank you for a loan would be considered ribis, which is something worthy of exploration, because a person inconveniences themselves in order to give a loan properly. There's a lot of time spent. There are documents, there's co-signing, there's making sure it's done right. I don't know that the words thank you in our culture are indeed so off base, but it is a topic of discussion and concern, according to some poskim. They say an interesting story of a mashgiach in a yeshiva in Europe, and a student came over to him and said, "I don't have money to travel back to the house for Yom Tov." So the mashgiach gave him a loan, and when the boy came back from the house, he had money with him, and he gave the money back, and he repaid the loan, and he said, "Thank you." So the mashgiach said, "You know, you're really not supposed to say thank you. It's a question of ribbis." The next time, again, the young man didn't have money. He came over for a loan. Mashgiach gave him a loan. He went home. He came back with money to repay the loan. And he gives the money back to the mashgiach, and he doesn't say thank you. The mashgiach says, "Come back." He came back. "What's the problem?" He says, "You didn't say thank you." So the young man says, "But I thought the mashgiach told me last time that I'm not supposed to say thank you." So the mashgiach tells him, "You're correct. You're not supposed to say thank you. But I didn't see that it was bothering you that you weren't saying thank you." So this is certainly a little bit of a delicate topic. The Mishnah concludes by saying, "Ve'elu ovrim belo sa'ase." The prohibition of ribbis is so severe that there's a whole list of people that are in violation if such a loan is tendered. Hamalva, the person who's lending the money. Vehaloven, the person borrowing the money. Vehaarev, the person who guarantees the loan. Vehaedim, and the witnesses. Vachachamim omrim af hasofer, even the person who's the scribe, who authors the loan, who prints the loan, who facilitates it, would also be in violation over here. We see a tremendous strength against such behavior, how seriously the Torah takes this concept of lending money with interest and the level of prohibition associated with it. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.